thank our brother for the very warm words of welcome. It's good to be back with you, and we do appreciate your prayers for us in Dunmurry. We're glad to be here, as we said, this evening. We're thankful for the invitation to come, and we trust that the Lord will bless us each and one as we meet around God's Word this evening. We're going to turn in God's Word this evening to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're going to break into our chapter, this chapter this evening, Luke 8 at the verse number 4. And we'll take the time to read down to the verse 15. And this portion of Scripture, which I'm sure will be well known to most, if not all, this evening. Luke chapter 8 and the verse number 4 in God's precious Word this evening, please. Luke 8 and the verse 4, and God's Word says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Amen. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening. Let us still our hearts. We'll unite together in a word of prayer, and we'll pray asking for the Lord to come and to speak to our hearts this evening. Let us pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed humbly and reverently bow in thy presence this evening. We thank thee, O God, for the great privilege and the great joy to be found in the house of the Lord. We thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy that has found us here. We thank thee, O God, for the means to be here, for health and strength to be gathered at thy house. And O God, we thank thee for that desire, that conviction, that burden that you've laid upon us to come to the house of the Lord this evening. And Father, we thank thee for the great privilege now of being able to open up the precious Word of God. We thank thee, O God, for this precious seed. We thank thee for this precious truth that has been given to us by thee. We thank thee for this, the revelation of God. And Father, we ask now that as we spend these closing moments of this service tonight, as we will consider it, meditate upon it, as we'd expound it, O God, we pray for thy Spirit to come amongst us tonight, descend afresh upon us, O Lord, we pray. Pray that you will move from heart to heart. O Father, thou knowest every circumstance. Thou knowest the condition of the souls that are sitting in this house and watching online, and maybe in the car park. And O God, we pray you'll take thy word tonight. Take that precious seed, plant it deep down in their hearts tonight, we pray, and may it yield that precious fruit unto salvation. And O God, we pray that we would have great cause to rejoice tonight with the angels in glory at some soul putting their faith and trust in Christ as their own and personal Savior. Give help now to this preacher, O God. Thou knowest our inability, thou knowest our weakness, thou knowest how we don't stand here in our own strength, but we look to thee tonight afresh. O God, we pray for the Spirit of God to descend. We pray for the infilling of God the Holy Ghost, that special anointing from on high. And O God, for wisdom and discernment in the expounding of thy truth tonight. And we'll be careful to give thee all the honor and all the glory, for it's in Christ's precious and worthy name we ask. Amen. There are many portions of Scripture that we could turn to this evening at a service just like this. As we come and we celebrate the harvest, we give thanks to what the Lord has done and for the good things even that we have a sample of before us. And there are many passages that we can turn to in Scripture that are very relevant to the harvest. They're relevant to farming, and they use these things as illustrations of great spiritual truths. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, on many occasions, he took this theme of the harvest and of farming and the field and the seed, and he did apply it in a spiritual way. And even if we go back into the Old Testament, we have great portions of Scripture like Psalm 126, and particularly the last verse, verse number 6, where it speaks of that sower who goes forth bearing precious seed, and how he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And right throughout Scripture, this theme of the harvest has been used to bring us to consider spiritual truth. And the portion we have read from this evening in Luke chapter 8, this great portion of Scripture, it's certainly no different. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is bringing another parable to those that have gathered around to hear him. It is the parable of the soil. Now, you might have heard of the parable being called by many different names. It might be called the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, but I think the parable of the soil is quite an applicable and appropriate title, because as we consider this portion of Scripture, as we consider what Christ teaches here in this portion of his word, really the focus here is indeed upon the soil. It's not so much upon the sower, it's not so much upon the seed on this occasion, although the seed is of vital importance, as we will see and as we know from Scripture, but the focus and the heart of this parable of Christ is really about the soil. And tonight we want to just take a few lessons from the soil that we have here as given to us by Christ in the parable. Now, this parable found, of course, in our reading this evening, also in Matthew 13 and over there in Mark 4. It would have been a very familiar scene to those that gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. It would have been a familiar scene to the disciples at that particular time. In fact, as Christ was speaking here on the shores of Galilee, this scene might have actually been taking place right in front of them. They might have been in such a position that they could actually see something of what Christ was speaking of here unfold right before their eyes. Of course, Christ here, he's speaking of a sower or a farmer, and he's scattering the seed across the field. And this isn't a difficult story to comprehend. It's not a difficult parable that Christ has spoken of here. In fact, it's very simplistic. It's full of great imagery. And there's nothing overly complicated. There's nothing overly difficult about what Christ is saying here. And in fact, as is the case with many of the parables, Christ goes on to actually give us an explanation of what he meant as he taught in the parables. We're not left to our own notions. We're not left to our own devices. We're not left to the thinking of man. But Christ himself here actually goes on to expound his own teaching. And what a privilege that is for us this evening, not only to be able to consider a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ taught and spoke of, but to see him expound it and teach it, not only to his disciples here, those that are gathered to hear him, but to us tonight as we gather in the house of the Lord. Now, as this parable was told of this sower that goes out into the field, the time that Christ walked on the earth in Israel, the fields there would have been very long, narrow strips. They would have been marked off with footpaths, not with hedges and fences as we would see around the countryside today in our own nation here, but rather the boundaries, the markers of those long, narrow strips of field would have been those paths which many could walk down the side of. And so they were quite open. It was quite an open scene, quite an open field here, and it would have been a scene that was very familiar with those that Christ was speaking to. And as Christ says here, the sower, the farmer, he was tasked with going to that field and tending it. He was tasked with getting the seed sown in the field, getting the field ready and prepared so that in those future days there would be a great harvest. Now, there was no great machinery, of course, in the days of Christ like we have today, where there is very expensive machinery used in farming and for tasks such as this. But the sowing of the seed would have been done manually, and the sower would have had perhaps a pouch of seeds on his hip, and he would have used a broad casting method. He would have grabbed a handful off the seeds, and he would have scattered it across the seed there as he walked to and fro up and down that strip, and as he sought to plant the seed on the land. And of course, that method was great for covering large areas of land, and these sowers became rather skilled. They knew not to put too much seed in one place so that piles would build up, but they were able to spread it evenly. They were able to get to that point where their hand was so skilled and so tasked with scattering that seed that they were very efficient at what they did, and the seed was spread as widely and as evenly as possible. And of course, the whole aim and the whole purpose was to cover the entire field with the seed. There was to be nothing left uncovered. And what a beautiful picture we have here of the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Scripture refers to the Word of God, the gospel, as the seed. It speaks of it there in Psalm 126 that we've already mentioned tonight as the bearing the precious seed. And isn't that the task of God's people? We're to get the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to pick it up, we're to scatter it across the entire harvest field of the Lord. We're to leave nothing uncovered. That's the task of the people of God tonight, and that was the task of the sower. Now, considering here, just briefly as a background, these type of fields marked by those boundaries of paths, of course it was inevitable that some of the seed would inevitably fall outside the field. And even perhaps some of the seed that was scattered within the perimeter, maybe it would have landed on patches of the ground that were barren, patches of the ground that maybe just weren't as fertile and ideal as producing fruit as others. And of course, the principle here is that it was only seed that landed on the good soil, the fertile soil, the rich soil, the ground that had been prepared properly, that would ever produce fruit and bring forth a harvest. And so that's the imagery here. That's what Christ is painting in the minds of those that had gathered to hear him. It was very familiar. It was a very familiar concept in the time of Christ. And that is the imagery. That's what Christ is using here to teach a spiritual lesson. And of course, the main focus here, as we've said, is on the soil. But Christ reveals the meaning of some of the other things that he speaks of here. As we said already, the seed represents the Word of God. Verse 11 says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." And as Christ is revealing this seed to us here in this imagery, he's speaking of the gospel message. He's speaking of that message that has been opened up to the Gentile world and is scattered across the entire field, the harvest field of God. Now, this isn't the only time that God's Word is referred to as seed. Of course, we have mentioned Psalm 126 already. We also have reference in 1 Peter 1 and 23 in the verses 23 to 25, and it speaks there of the incorruptible seed. And of course, we have mentioned throughout Scripture of this seed of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this seed is vitally important. And as we said already, it's not entirely the focus point of Christ here in this portion of Scripture, but nonetheless, it is important. And as you come to the gospel meeting tonight, as you come to the house of the Lord to a service such as this, it is vital that you know tonight that it's not the word of man that we're proclaiming. It's not the notion of a denomination. It's not the ideas or the philosophy of man that we preach from this pulpit and that your minister preaches here week by week, but it's the precious seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our business this evening. That's why you're found in the house of the Lord, is so that that precious seed might be scattered abroad and even find that resting place in your heart tonight. And that seed is vitally important. But then we have the sower here. Now, the sower is not really specifically identified by the Lord Jesus Christ here particularly, but we can say with confidence that the sower here certainly represents those who proclaim the Word of God, whether by preaching or personal evangelism or with testimony or even the ministry and song. But here it's speaking of that method, that mode of the spreading of the gospel message. One commentator has said that the sower is whoever disperses God's Word or the gospel message. And certainly that ties in to the teaching here of Christ. But the whole purpose, as we said, the whole point here of the parable, as we come to the heart and to the meaning here of what Christ is teaching, it's all to do with the soil. It's all to do with the resting place of that seed that is scattered. It's all to do with that type of ground, the type of soil, the type of land that that precious seed lands upon. And you know, as we share the message of the gospel, not only tonight, but right across our land, isn't it true that there's different types of ground, that the gospel lands upon different hearts, different souls? There are those that are open to the gospel, there are those that are closed to the gospel, there are those that are receptive to the things of God, there are those that are totally opposed to the things of God. And Christ is teaching here the importance of the soil in which the seed lands. And I wonder tonight, as we look at this portion of Scripture, as we consider tonight these types of soil, I wonder which soil are you? And I want you to ask yourself that question as we go through this parable tonight. As we see here these different types of soil that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in this parable, I want you tonight to consider in your own heart and before the Lord, honestly tonight, which soil are you this evening? As the gospel goes forth, as the word of God is proclaimed, and as you hear it tonight, what is your heart like? What is your soul like in terms of the reception of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice here, firstly, the roadside soil. Look at verse number 5 in our reading tonight in Luke chapter 8. Christ, as he's teaching this parable, he says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some of the seed that that farmer had scattered, as we said, with the way the boundaries were in the land, it would have fallen upon the roadside soil. It would have fallen along the edge of that field, the wayside, the boundaries of it. And those wayside paths, they were well-trodden paths. They were means whereby men and women would have traveled. And those paths that marked the border there, they would have been well-used. And as the sower spread the seed of the gospel, as he sowed the seed on the field, some of this seed that he scattered inevitably was to fall upon that roadside soil. The soil in those footpaths, of course, wouldn't have been ploughed. It wouldn't have been prepared. And in the hot climate, such as Israel, well, it's very obvious to see that those paths would have been dry. They would have become like concrete. It was no ground or condition for a seed to be found. And seed that landed in such ground, seed that was scattered on that roadside soil, on that wayside of the field, really it had no hope whatsoever of penetrating the hard surface of that footpath. It would lie there, it would be trampled upon, it would be kicked out of the way, the birds would come and steal it as it lay there in the surface of the footpath. And really it was a hopeless situation for that seed to be found there, lying on the wayside. Now, what does that mean in terms of the sowing of the gospel? As we think of Christ's application here to spiritual matters, what does that picture for us tonight? Well, Christ reveals that to us himself in his own words there in verse number 12. For he tells us that those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Very solemnly here, that roadside ground pictures a heart that is closed to the gospel. It's a heart that has no time, a heart that has no consideration, a heart that has no thought even for the things of God. And dear friend, I must say tonight that this is the most hopeless situation that a heart can be in. It's the most terrible condition that a soul can find themselves in tonight. It's the most hopeless position that you can find yourselves in, to be closed to the gospel, to have a heart that is hardened to the things of God, to have a soul that outright rejects the only way of salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you to say tonight, I want nothing to do with the gospel. For you to say, I want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want nothing to do with this Bible that you preach. I want nothing to do with that man of Calvary. Dear friend, that's the most hopeless situation that you could find yourself in. It's a solemn situation. It's a hopeless situation. God's word tells us that it's the fool that has said in his heart, there's no God. I wonder tonight, are you rejecting Christ? Are you rejecting the only door to heaven? Are you rejecting the only means of the forgiveness of your sin? Are you rejecting the only way that you can have peace with God, the only way that you can know that assurance and peace in the depths of your heart? Are you rejecting the Savior? Your unbelief, your sin, it has hardened your heart. Just like this wayside soil and the seed of the gospel, it has no room to grow. It has no means whereby it can bring that precious fruit that comes from that glorious harvest. Your heart is not a place of truth and light, but it's a place of darkness. It's a place of barrenness. It's a place of sin. And tonight, dear friend, you're barren. You're spiritually dead. You're like this wayside soil. Christ explains here that those who are like the wayside soil are those that, oh, they might have opportunities to hear the gospel. The seed might be scattered their direction. It might be flung towards their heart in the providence of God as the word of God is preached, but the devil, he comes and he takes it away. Their hearts are hardened. They have no time for the things of God, and they're closed to God's salvation. You see, the whole purpose of the gospel seed going forth tonight, the whole reason we preach the gospel is to bring glory to God through the salvation of precious souls. That's the purpose of the scattering of the seed. That's why the message of the gospel is proclaimed. We proclaim the word of God so sinners might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's why you've been invited here tonight, dear friend. I don't know if you're part of the congregation or not, but that's why you're found in God's house. That's why the invitations have gone out to come to a meeting just like this. That's why your friends and your family and those in the church here and the minister, they have a longing to see you in the house of the Lord, because the seed's to be scattered to your direction and they want you to heed the word of God and believe on Christ. That's why we stand here this evening, yes, invited by your minister, but most importantly, tasked by God for the spreading of the precious seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet tonight, maybe your heart is as hard as that wayside soul. It's like concrete tonight. You're closed to God. You're closed to the things of God. You're closed to Christ. Maybe you've heard the message many times before. Maybe you're found here in God's house night after night, week after week. Maybe you're familiar with the gospel, or maybe tonight it's an altogether new thing for you, and yet you're in a position tonight where you're in rejection of Christ and the message of the gospel, and you're like this wayside soul. Maybe other things have taken the place in your heart. Maybe material things. Maybe the love of money. Maybe sinful lust. Maybe other things that take possession above the word of God, above the message of the gospel, and tonight you've no time for the word of God. And the devil tonight, through confusion, through distraction, through false promises, through his wicked lies, he is stealing the precious word of God from you. Just like the birds here snatch the seed from the roadside soil. And Satan will try to confuse you. He'll try to exploit your sinful lust, and he'll try to keep you away from the gospel, whether through pride or fear or whatever else it might be. Oh, dear friend, the message of the gospel tonight is clear. Repent of your sin and be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the precious seed that goes forth. Soften your heart tonight. I pray that the Lord would do that. That the Lord would soften your heart, because if you don't, you'll be lost forever. We see that this wayside soul, it was barren. There was no hope of any fruit ever coming from it. And dear friend, as long as your heart is hard, as long as you stand in rejection of Christ, you've no hope of salvation. You need the Holy Spirit to come and to work in your heart tonight. You need to be receptive to the gospel seed. I wonder tonight, would you repent? Would you come to Christ and take him as your own and personal Savior? We have the roadside soil. But secondly, here we have the rocky soil. Look at verse number 6. As Christ explains this parable here, he said, "And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." Now the ground here that Christ is speaking of is that rock bed that would have been found under the surface of the soil, and the rock would have been covered with a thin layer of the soil. And that rock would not have been visible, certainly not in the first instance, to the farmer or to those that are passing by. And such a shallow layer of soil, such a small amount of soil there on the top of that strong, deep rock, it wouldn't have been deep enough, it wouldn't have stayed moist enough, it wouldn't have been rich or fertile enough to ever sustain the growth of a seed, certainly not until it was fully grown. And add on top of that the fact that we have such a hot climate here in view when we think of Israel. And so the soil, the seed in this soil, it goes in, it germinates, it might begin to grow, it might show a small shoot. There might be that little bit of hope, that little glimmer of a potential future harvest, yet as soon as it almost looks lush and healthy, it will waste away because it is not enough water. The roots cannot grow beyond the layer of rock, and so for a while that crop might look well, but soon it begins to die. And once again, Christ explains what he means. Look at verse 13. They in the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. You see, there are those right throughout the generations that have received the gospel message, and yes, they believe it. They believe the words of it to be true, and yes, to some extent, it might even fill them with excitement and joy. As they realize that there is hope, as they realize that there is life after death, that they can go to heaven, they are filled with excitement and joy, and maybe for a while they have some sort of shallow belief in the things of God. But before too long we realize that there's no root. It was superficial. Yes, in the outward appearance all looked well. Appeared as if they'd accepted the gospel. Maybe for a while looked as if they were going on with the Lord. They behaved like a Christian. They acted like a Christian. They went along to the house of the Lord. But oh, then the temptation came, and before too long they were back in the things of the world. They went back to their own ways. They were living as if they never heard the gospel before. They were never saved. They hadn't really trusted Christ for salvation. Dear friend, that's a real danger across this land tonight. Easy believism. And these people that are pictured here by this rocky soil, there are those who hadn't really trusted Christ for salvation. They made an outward profession. They made some sort of show or commitment. And I wonder, does that describe someone here this evening? Maybe you've heard the gospel. Maybe you have believed in the gospel message itself. Maybe at one point you were filled with excitement and joy as you sat under the preaching of the Word of God, knowing that you could have your sins forgiven. And yet tonight, if you're honest, you've never actually trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never repented of your sin. You've never been truly sorry for your sin. You've never grieved over your sin. Maybe outwardly tonight you look like a Christian. Maybe you come to the Lord's house week by week. Maybe you say the right things. You sing along with the hymns. Maybe you behave in the right way. But deep down in your heart tonight, as you're honest before the Lord, you know that your faith has no root. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. One commentator said that the soil spread thinly over a layer of rock illustrates a shallow-hearted person who responds immediately, but only superficially. I wonder, dear friend, have you made a false profession before? Maybe just to satisfy those that have invited you to the meetings. Maybe just to keep those in your family that have been going on about the gospel to you, just to keep them quiet, just to satisfy them. Maybe you've come just because it's what your friends do, because it's what your families do, but really you've never made a true profession of faith. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're depending upon a superficial commitment to Christ. But if you were to enter into eternity like that, dear friend, you'd be lost. You'd be lost forever. Don't go on believing in a false profession. Don't go on believing in some little commitment you might have made many years ago. If you have not truly repented of your sin, if you have not trusted in Christ as your own and personal Savior, claiming and declaring Him as the Lord and King of your life, then dear friend, you've made a false profession. Don't go another moment like this rocky soil, oh, looking the part, behaving the part, and yet deep down you know that you're far from Christ. In the third place, we have the riddled soil. Verse number 7, it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. This is ground that is riddled with thorns and weeds. Thorns and thistles and weeds, they're useless for agricultural purposes. In fact, they're harmful to crops. They can take over the field very quickly and choke everything else. And as such, seeds that are grown in such a field that has been overcome with weeds and thorns, that will not mature into a healthy harvest. Even when a field of weeds is ploughed, many more new weeds will grow. It might appear like you're getting somewhere, like you're beating the weeds, that you're getting rid of them. But over time, very soon, you will see that those weeds will grow again, seemingly out of nowhere, seemingly out of nothing. Even from the remnants of those old weeds, new weeds begin to grow. And if anyone's done any sort of gardening whatsoever, you'll know it's a lot easier to grow weeds than it is plants and flowers. And I certainly find that I'm great at growing weeds, not so great at growing any flowers, not for too long anyway. Weeds are easy to grow. They're hard to keep away. And you know, just that in itself, doesn't it show us the curse of sin? Weeds are a result of the curse of sin. It's an ever-present reminder of the sin that is in our hearts and in our souls. And these weeds in the field, they begin to grow. They begin to soak up the moisture of the soil. They drain out the nutrients. They block the sunlight from the crops. They choke the life out of everything in that field that the farmer wants to grow. What does Christ say that pictures? Look at verse number 14. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. It describes someone who really is too concerned with the things of the world, to put it simply. They seem to respond positively to the gospel message, maybe at first. Again, they might show some signs of believing. There'll be some signs of growth there, but before too long, the sins of the world, the lusts of the heart, the corruption of the soul, they begin to take over again. They're too much in love with the things of the world. They're focused on the riches and the pleasures of this life. Maybe things like money, maybe progression up the career ladder, maybe some other god in your life, whether it's football or cars or money, whatever else it might be, and there's no place and no room for God in their hearts. I wonder, is that you this evening, dear friend? Is it the love of money for you? Is it the desire for wealth and riches, for fame, for the material possessions of the world? Is that what's holding you back from accepting Christ tonight? Maybe it's your friends, maybe it's your family, maybe it's what your work colleagues might think, maybe it's your social life, maybe it's that little drink you might have at the weekend with your friends or with those that you spent the weekend work with, and you don't want to give it up, and you've no room, you've no time, you've no place for Christ in your heart. And your soul, it is riddled with these weeds of the world, and they've overtaken you to the point where you don't want anything to do with Christ. You don't have any room for Him in your heart because you don't want to give up the pleasures of the world. Those pleasures are just for a season, but your soul is eternal. You need to remember that tonight. You can't take your riches with you. Social life will do nothing for your eternity. Your friends, your colleagues, they will not get you out of hell in that future day. What you will do with Christ, that's what matters. Where will it be for you? Will it be the case that you will be like that one who was to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? That rich fool who had built greater barns, he was planning for the future, he had done all that he could to provide that wonderful life for himself, and he had no time for the gospel, no time for the things of God, and yet Christ told him that very night his soul was to be required of him. He was never to reach that future that he'd planned, gone out into God's eternity, cut off forever. Oh, will that be the case with you, dear friend, so focused on the things of the world, so caught up with the possessions of this life, so caught up with the pleasures of this world that you reject Christ and pay the consequence in eternity forever? Oh, dear friend, don't pass Christ down for anything, not for the pleasures of the world, not for friends, not for family. Take Him tonight as your Savior. It's what you do with Him that matters. That's what will determine where you spend eternity. The roadside soil, the rocky soil, the riddled soil. Fourthly and finally, very quickly this evening, we have the ready soil. You see, there is a soil that is ready to receive the seed. Look at verse number 8. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. The seed that lands in the ploughed field, of course, it flourishes. It can get down to the soil. Its roots will penetrate deeply. The soil that is clean, it is moist, it is full of nutrients, it is free from weeds. There's nothing to trample upon it, no birds to steal away the seed. And the seed that lands in such soil, It is seed that will produce an abundant crop. What does Christ say about that? Look at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. This is a heart that is prepared to receive Christ as their Savior. This is one who hears the gospel message. That seed has been sown, whether from the pulpit, whether from an open air meeting, whether from a gospel tract, whether from a word of testimony or a word in season from a friend or family member, and they hear the seed of the gospel and they repent of their sin and they take Christ as their Savior. They're open and receptive to the gospel message, and they make that decision, that moment in their life, to turn their back on the world, to turn their back on their sin, to repent of it all, and to take Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. That's what the good seed, the good soil pictures here. This is the one who goes on with Christ, the one who surrenders their life to Him, the one who serves Him until the day that they go to be with Him in glory. This isn't a temporary faith. This isn't a superficial faith. This isn't some decision just made in the spur of the moment in the midst of motion and hype. This is true, lasting, enduring faith that has been given by God alone. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith for the salvation of your soul. That represents the soul that is truly saved. I wonder, dear friend, which are you this evening? Oh, the gospel seed has been sown here week after week after week. It has been sown in this land of ours for many generations. It has been sown perhaps in the direction of your heart for many years. But tonight I wonder, what will you do with Christ? What soil are you like tonight? Are you like that roadside soil? Maybe you have no time at all for the things of God. You're an outright rejecter and hater of the gospel message. Maybe you're like the rocky soil in your faith. It has no real root. It's just been a false profession. And before too long, you've given up on the things of God and you're back out in the world again tonight. Or maybe you're like that riddled soil and you're so focused on the things of the world, so focused on what you can have in this life, what this life promises to offer you, that you've no time for the gospel this evening, no time for the things of God. Are you like this good soil, this ready soil? Are you prepared tonight to heed the gospel message, to repent of your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved? Are you ready to surrender your life to Him this evening? Are you willing to take this gospel seed that has been scattered even towards your heart this evening? Are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to obey it? Are you willing to cast your mind and your heart away from the things of the world, away from the pleasures of this life? And you prepared to go forward with Christ, to take Him as your own and personal Savior? Oh, I trust this evening you'll be like the good soil. You will repent of your sin. Scripture tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You must come tonight, dear friend. You don't know what a day may bring forth, and yet God in His grace and His mercy has spurred you to be here tonight for the gospel seed to be sown in your heart. I wonder, would you receive Christ and take Him tonight as your own and personal Savior? Let us bow in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank Thee for this time we've been able to spend in the house of the Lord this evening. Thank Thee, O God, that it's a good thing for us to be here. Thank Thee, O God, for Thy presence. Thank Thee, O God, for Thy help. Thank Thee, O God, for this sweet time that we've been able to shut ourselves in with Thee. And Father, we thank Thee for the precious seed of the gospel. Thank Thee, O God, that yes, it is revealed to us in Scripture how we are born in sin, we're shaping in iniquity, we're heading out to that just and right punishment for our sin, that eternal torment in hell, and yet praise God for the good news that Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Thank Thee, O God, that Christ has paid the price. There's nothing left for us to owe save repenting and taking Christ as our own and personal Savior. O God, may the seed fall on that good soil tonight. May hearts be receptive. May hearts be soft to the gospel message. May the Holy Spirit draw sinners with that irresistible grace and bring them into the family and into the fold of God. Part us now. Thy blessing be with us all throughout this incoming week, we pray. For it's in our Saviour's precious and worthy name we ask. Amen.